Hello all, and welcome to the second session of the Breeze Ars Electronica Symposium 2007. And after the new category, hybrid art, we will switch to one of the, shall we say, old categories, one of the traditional ones, which is interactive art. I'm Erkki Huhtamo, and my fellow jury members were Sergei Tinkla, Geetha Narayanan, Hiroshi Ishii, and Shumin Lin. Our task this year was probably quite a bit different from those of the juries in the past, let's say past four years, and particularly because of the new category that we just heard about. So, having visited Ars Electronica actually quite a few times myself since 1989, just with one exception, I had heard comments from both visitors and actually other colleagues in the past few years, often sort of like saying that, you know, making comments about one or the other pieces awarded in this category and shown at these exhibitions, saying that, well, I'm not quite sure whether that is interactive at all, or whether that's something else. And I think that one of the reasons why this came to be had nothing to do with the juries, and had nothing to do with the quality of those great works we have seen, but particularly with the situation where there was simply a lot of interesting work being introduced and proposed, and there was no place really to place it in. And I think that this is one reason, just one of those reasons, why I think the introduction of the hybrid art category sort of like clarifies the situation when it comes to interactive art. And that is one of the reasons why we actually decided to call the statement and this presentation the return of the interactor. So in a way, emphasizing the role of the human interacting with these works, with systems, with networks, any such things. So, as usual, we will be hearing presentations from the Award of Distinction winners first, and then we will have a talk by the winner of the Golden Nika. Before we get to this point, I would just use just a few minutes to sort of like take you on a brief, shall we say, archaeological trip back to some earlier notions of interactivity, interactive computing, and interactive media art. And I would just like to pay a short homage to Ted Nelson, who is one of the guests at the festival, and I understand will be speaking on Monday. Ted Nelson, who is one of the real pioneers, visionaries, to whose visions and ideas I think much of the work we've been doing is in gratitude. And this is how Ted Nelson explained in 1977, so exactly 30 years ago, the coming of interactive computing. So with his unimitable style of scribbling, he started from the classic computer, which is something mainframes of the 1940s, 50s, where basically he felt it was a machine. Amazingly, it looks a little bit like the cloaca, which I wasn't thinking of before. But anyway, so you feed in things and you get things out from the machine, and there's no human anywhere around it. This is the way how sometimes cartoonists commented on the situation, saying, do you ever get the feeling it's trying to tell us something? So there's some kind of a communication between the machine and the mathematicians or operators, but not really a sort of like a continuous interactive relationship. According to Ted Nelson, then the next stage was something he called the Baroque computer, where you see that we have a new sort of like terminal for communicating with that machine, but basically it is a very hard to understand complex baroque box where mysterious operations take place. And then for Ted Nelson, the third stage was what he called interactive computing, where I think the key ideas is the note here saying that boxes here represent understandable units, and the other key element is the smile on the face of the user. And this is really the first time where the user really appears in these diagrams. And for Ted Nelson, this situation where the box has lost something of its opaqueness and the sort of like circuit between the user and the system is sort of like much more rapid and close and intuitive, represented the future. This is probably a moment that could represent the move from the Baroque to the personal era of the interactive computing. This is a space war tournament in the 1960s, which was sometimes known as the first computer game application played in the computer labs in the United States. And this is my favorite picture when we think about the archaeology of interactivity. Look at the faces. Look at the eyes of these two guys, deeply concentrated on playing with their little spaceships on the screen in one of the computer research institutions at that time in the U.S. campuses. And this is obviously the next stage in the early 70s, the introduction of the first TV games and machines for the home, and so on. There are many other things I would not have time to go into. And this is how Ted Nelson defined interactive computing. He said, "Before now, most computer systems have not been set up with ordinary people's use in mind. A certain class of experienced user was anticipated, and so only these people used the system. But that's about to change. Interactive systems will start appearing on little computers for every purpose. They will help us with every conceivable human task, whether painting a picture, composing a sonnet, or trying to decide how to invest your money." And this was exactly 30 years ago. So, 30 years later, have we reached the ultimate interactive paradise? Well, if you ask Microsoft, we probably are very close. This is Microsoft's new product, which some of you may have seen, others may not know. It's called Surface, which uses RFID tags to allow seamless communication with portable devices and this sort of like tabletop, which amazingly looks like Apple iPhone in sort of like mammothian size. Okay, but now the point, which is my basically final point before I let the first artist to the podium, is that now for all of us who have attended Ars Electronicas and probably seen exhibitions of media arts or interactive art, I think this looks amazingly familiar. How many tens and perhaps hundreds of artworks using ideas about interactive tables have we seen for years and decades? So obviously Microsoft may be cashing here on something that's been a sort of like a perceived idea notion in these circles that we inhabit for a long, long time. So I think in this case, there are many challenges for artists working with these interactive technologies. And one is definitely, I mean, what should we do in this situation where the corporate research labs come up with applications which basically take the forms and ideas and probably deal with them in a ways that artists wouldn't even consider doing. So how should artists deal with this kind of challenges? Should we just sort of like basically abandon this or try to co-opt that technology and do something with that? And many other questions. And this probably can be a sort of like a gateway to the discussion itself. I'm not going to go through the list of the winners, which you can easily find from the cyber arts. And nor am I going to read the jury statement, which is also here. Many of the works you must have already seen at the OCA Center at the exhibition. There were a few ones which we couldn't install because they were location-based or otherwise very difficult to do. But anyway, so you hopefully have an idea about the works that we have here on display already. So I would just like to say that we emphasized the notion of the human system or human computer or human artwork interaction this year, also to avoid those problems that these previous juries often encountered by giving prizes for works which really didn't have much of a sort of like a important interaction beyond certain kind of mental interaction, which is not very different from what happens in the cinema, for instance, or actually in sort of traditional art exhibitions. And we tried to look for different forms and strands of interactivity you can find on this field these days, and that is very much reflected in the awards. As you will see, they represent very different paths towards using interactivity as a form in art, also defining the relationship between humans and these systems.